We're in Daf Lamed Hey, and beginning with the two dots. Lefichach ein donin. Therefore, we don't judge. So, what does that have to? What is that connected to? So, it's based upon the previous clause in the Mishnah, which states that by dine mamonos, of course, dine mamonos donin by yom v'garim b'layla. That dine mamonos, you can conclude, you can have the gemar din balayla. But dine nefashos, you can't conclude, you can't have the gemar din balayla. We just did that, a sugya. Why you can't have the gemar din balayla. Then it says, dine mamonos gomrim bo biyom, that is to say that a monetary case can be concluded on the same day, the day that it begins. Whether it be l'schus or whether it be l'chov. Dini nefashos, gomrin bo biyom l'schus. So dini nefashos, you can conclude on the same day on which it's commenced, on which you began it. That's only if you find them innocent. So if you find them innocent on the first day, you have the kabbalos ha'edus, you have the masu maton, and you have a good outcome. Your schus, acquittal. So then you conclude the din, l'schus. There's no need to postpone it, certainly. If anything, there's a desire to conclude it, because as we've learned, that's the basic, the tzilu. The real objective is to try and find Hatzalah. Then, uviyom shala acharav l'chova. But if you can't find a acquittal, and indeed if it looks like a conviction, majority is for conviction. Of course, we've learned that you have to have a majority of two for conviction. So then you have to postpone it until the next day. Halonas hadin. Okay? Yeah. So lefichach. So this is going to cause a this is going to cause an effect. It's going to have an effect in terms of the scheduling of trials. Lefichach ein donin lo bi erev Shabbos. Therefore, you can't be done. You can't judge. Now, you can't judge, would seem, we're talking about dine nefashos. Dine mamonos apparently wouldn't be a problem to have a case on Erev Shabbos. So you can't judge on Erev Shabbos, below Erev Yom Tov, nor on Erev Yom Tov. Okay? Well, so we have to figure out why. What's the problem. Why? Why can't you? It's not clear from the Mishnah, other than that it's connected to the fact that you may have a situation of halana. If you have a situation of halana, so just by learning the Mishnah, you have a general sense of the problem. You know where it's going. Where's it going? You have a situation of halana, so then it'll take you into Shabbos. So then it raises the question, can I judge him on Shabbos? But it's not clear, even from the Mishnah, well, why can't you judge him on Shabbos? And we don't know. But that's what the Mishnah... That's what the Mishnah has said. So now the Gemara is going to take it up. So now the Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason that you can't judge on Erev Shabbos? Mishum d'lo efshar, because it's impossible. It's not possible. Heichi levad. How would we do it? L'daini b'malei shabsa." Valigmeray Ladine Bamila Shapsa. Alright? So the Gemara is bringing out the possibilities. So let's judge him on Erev Shabbos. Let's begin the case and let's conclude the case on Erev Shabbos. So that itself wouldn't be a problem. So it would seem that in terms of strictly speaking to judge someone on Erev Shabbos, as long as you knew you could conclude it on Erev Shabbos, wouldn't be a problem. Okay? So, the Gemara says, Duma chazu tam l'chova. Or maybe they'll see a tam, they'll be inclined towards chav. That is, they won't be able to acquit him. Uvo l'mevad halonas din. And then they have to do halonas din. That is, they have to postpone it till the next day. Okay? So what's wrong with that? So do halanas din and reconvene on Shabbos. That's the next issue you have to consider. So the Gemara says, L'dayne v'malei shapsa, start the case on Erev Shabbos, v'ligmerei b'shah, l'dine, if you take a look at the Gemara Sabach, v'ligmerei l'dine b'shapsa, and conclude the din on Shabbos. Okay. V'likdalei b'shapsa, and kill him on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's a question, basically. Well, why can't you do that? So the Gemara says, Ein Ritzicha Doches Shabbos. That Ritzicha is not Doche, does not push aside the Shabbos. That's a big issue. Whether the Ritzicha over here, of course one can ask the question right off the bat, before we go any further, is that what's the, well, of course, well, if you we know, I assume we all know you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos. Well, of course, you're not allowed to kill during the week either, but it involves one of the Lama Tes Malachos. That's Shochet. The Malach of Shochet. So from the general principle is, any taking of life, making a wound is in the same category, to draw blood, and so forth. So normally, of course, it's prohibited. It's obviously, it's a Malacha. But so why what is the whole issue over here? Why would I think, well, what's the Havamina even to say otherwise over here? Is there any kind of a Havamina? Just in general, I'm not looking for a definition. Just in general, why would this be an issue over here? That Ein Ritzicha Docha Es HaShabbos. Is there any reason why we might think that in this case it would be different? Because as we've learned, that the killing of someone who's found to be guilty, the execution, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah saseh to do that. And to the contrary, if Bezdin doesn't execute them, then they're in violation of the command. It's chiyuv. Once they find them guilty, of course. Once they find them guilty, it's not an option. There's no such thing in Judaism as clemency. You have that in other systems of jurisprudence. Sometimes a governor or a king will grant a clemency, absolve someone. That's not a possibility. It's a mitzvah saseh. Beis Din has a chiyuv to do that. So therefore, there's room for an issue. If that's the case, does the mitzvah, due to the fact that this is a mitzvah, would this differentiate it from ordinary ritzicha, and would it create a heter, so to speak, to execute him on Shabbos? So that, the Gemara is saying, that's why you see the Gemara is considering this, considering all the ins and outs, all the possibilities. So the Gemara is saying that if you say, well, let them conclude the case on Shabbos and kill him on Shabbos. So, Ein Ritzicha Docha Es Shabbos. That's a significant conclusion. That this Ritzicha, of course we know the Ritzicha is also on Shabbos, but this Ritzicha, even though it's a mitzvah, would not be a Docha the Shabbos. The answer, of course, is that the selection of a time in determining when you can have a kfius bezdin, and it's an interesting idea, by the way, because we haven't learned these areas in Sanhedrin, but we've seen already ourselves how difficult it is to convict.
Right.
And there's statements to the effect that the bezdin that kills once in 7 years is like a hanging bezdin, things of that sort. If that's the case, it's interesting. If you're going to look at things from a purely practical standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, it would seem that the chances of a conviction are very slim. I don't know if anybody ever did a study. We're talking about a long time ago. We haven't had Sanhedrin. We haven't had capital punishment in a long time. But I don't know if any studies exist as to the frequency of convictions, the ratio of acquittals to convictions. I would guess, if they did do such a study, that it would be heavily in favor of acquittals. It just seems that it has to be that way. Just if you look at the nature of the system itself, as we've seen in terms of the requirement for Eidus, from the very beginning, even to get a trial going, you can't admit any kind of circumstantial evidence. It has to be based upon Eidus, and the fact that he has to have Hasra, and the Hasra has to be Toch Kidei Dibur, and he has to be Makabal the Hasra. He has to say, in spite of that, I'm going to do it anyways. As we said, it's very, very rare. It seems very, very rare. That's all before the trial actually begins. Then you have the actual, all the rules that pertain, poskel and schus. It's all balanced in the side of schus. So if you just say you study the structure itself, it would seem that the percentages of acquittals would seem to outweigh the convictions tremendously. If that's the case, so then I could raise a question and say that you're talking about scheduling now, and you're telling me that Friday is a perfectly good day to schedule Dini Nefashos. If it were not for the requirement of Halanas Adin, if it were possible that it could be concluded on the same day. So if that's the case, why should we be concerned? Because chances are it's going to be concluded on the same day. Not just chances are, but it would seem, unless I'm wrong, and I mean, it's a little bit of speculation, but this whatever speculation is based upon the evidence, solid, you know, the halachas over here seem to be in the... I could be wrong, as I'm saying, I don't have the statistics in front of me as to what percentage of cases wound up with acquittal versus conviction. I'm assuming the majority would be for acquittal. So if that's the case, so why not schedule it on Friday? Because all likelihood it's going to be acquittal. And you're not going to have the problem of velik delay. That is to say, the problem that you've mentioned, that you cited as being the obstacle, is the fact that you can't execute on Shabbos. But how likely is that scenario to happen? The answer really is that it has nothing to do with practicality. The establishment, the kvius, is rooted in the phenomenon, in the phenomena itself, in the phenomena. You can't look to the practicalities of it. So it's not a matter of explaining it by saying that we have to be careful because the system can't break down. That's true, but if you're talking about a real concern, about a practical concern, like you have in a certain time you make a gzeira, that you have to asser something because it can lead to something else. You know, most of the gzeiras on Shabbos, you know, riding a horse because you might pull off a branch. So when you're talking about things like that, you're talking about practicality. So you're not just talking about an abstract, you know, if the overwhelming reality is that it doesn't happen, now is a different story. Today, you may say that it's not really relevant anymore because everybody has these whips and nobody does that or whatever. But that doesn't matter because it wasn't the gzera wasn't made today. You have to, once it was established in that time frame, so it unless it's repealed, which it's not repealed. But in that situation where you're talking about gzera, so then the connection, the probability factor is a factor. There's got to be a connection between the two. What I'm trying to say over here is that you don't have to show that. You don't have to argue in terms of the practicality that it can lead to a breakdown of the system because you'll have a situation where somebody is found guilty and we can't kill them, so we're going to violate the law of Inui Hadin. Essentially, that's what it's going to boil down to. Because here the structuring, the kvius, is based upon the phenomena itself. It's based upon the laws that pertain. There's v'shaftu v'itzilu. It's true, but there's v'shaftu. And therefore, when you're determining when you can establish it, you can't bring in the practical consequences. You can't take the statistics. It has nothing to do with statistics. Even if you could show that we haven't executed somebody for the last 100 years. That wouldn't be, it would be totally irrelevant because it has to be true. It has to be true in terms of the reality of the procedure itself. And the reality of the procedure itself is that the Besen can certainly be Chazuta. Otherwise, you're making a statement. You're saying that there is no real Mishpat over here, just V'itzilu. But it has to be based upon the abstract principles of Mishpat. So it's V'shaftu V'itzilu. So insofar as it's Mishpat, there's a phenomenon of conviction. And if it's conviction, it's Alana Sadin. And therefore, in accordance with the laws that pertain, you can't. That's what the Gemara is all about. It's not in accordance with the practicalities, it's in accordance with the laws. So the Gemara says, Belikdilei li'urta. So now the Gemara is considering another possibility. The Gemara doesn't want to give up so quickly over here. That is to say, let's talk it out, that we'll start the case on Friday, and if you need to do halana, you'll continue it on Shabbos. And it'll be found, if he's found guilty. So then you can't kill him on Shabbos, but you can kill him on Tzai Shabbos. So the Gemara says you can't do that because neged hashemesh be'inon. That's a halacha in the execution itself, which we learned in the previous Gemara. That's the reason why, by the way, the reason why you can't be gomer belayla. That was the whole discussion. So it's the same point. The same point operates over here. So you can raise it. It's a good point. Ben is raising the question. So, what's the Chiddush? We learned this already. It seems as though the Gemara is unaware of that. Okay, I don't know if it's an official, so to speak, hava. I mean, it could be that the Gemara is just going through all the possibilities. Sometimes the Gemara just goes through all the possibilities. But what bothers me over here at this point is that at this stage of the game, the only reason why we really found an answer, it would seem. The Gemara seems to have found some type of a solution to this problem. That is, okay, so you can find them guilty on Shabbos. You can't kill them. But the Gemara asks, so kill them after Shabbos. This time, especially when Shabbos ends early, you have plenty of time. So the Gemara says, no, but that's a separate principle. Neged HaShemesh B'inun. That's, we learned it out from a Pasuk. V'hokanum Neged HaShemesh. I mean, we've already gone through that Gemara for whatever reason. I mean, we're not going to go into all the reasons now. The execution, when it takes place, has to be in broad daylight, so to speak. Okay. But the assumption is that if you didn't have this problem, and if we're permitted to kill him, if that were permitted, then you could conclude the case on Shabbos. Right? At this point, you have to assume that. This is the only obstacle. Well, only. That's the obstacle. That's the halacha. Because the Gemara is saying, before the Gemara had this answer, while the Gemara was still unaware, so to speak, that you can't execute at night, so it seemed to have solved the problem. Start on Friday, push it over to Shabbos. He's found innocent, no problem, obviously. That's good. He's found guilty, so you can't kill him on Shabbos. You can kill him on Tzai Shabbos. But there's something that bothers me about that. How could the Gemara entertain that possibility? I have a question. Even if this was not a problem and you could execute the person at night, somehow or other, this answer is troubling to me. What bothered me over here, at least gave me some pause, was what kind of an answer is this? Would this really work? The Gemara seems to be saying this would really work, but it doesn't work because of this technical factor that you can't kill at night. I'm saying even if you didn't have that technical factor, and even if you could kill it at night, how could you consider such an answer? Would this not be a violation of Inui Hadin? The Inui Hadin issue comes into play in the Gemara. It's not like this Gemara is ignorant of Inui Hadin. That's the question. Now, if you have an answer, fine. But that's what I had to work through. Is this not an issue of Inui Hadin? Now, before we actually answer this, let's go a little further in the Gemara, because you'll see that the Gemara takes... Well, let's get the whole picture, and then we'll come back to this. So then the Gemara accepts this. Well, he has no choice, obviously. Of course, I'm only asking on the Havmin of the Gemara. The Maskana is correct. This is a non-starter. It doesn't go because the fact is you can't kill him at night. Fine. So that takes care of my issue as well. I'm only saying that the Gemara had a Havmin, that it would be okay if you could kill at night, and it would not be a violation of any identity. That's my question. Bear that in mind. All right, but then nevertheless, the Gemara now says you can't kill him at night, so what's the difference? Okay, let's move on. So the Gemara has another possibility. So the Gemara says like this, V'ligmarei l'dinei b'shapsa. Why can't you be gomer the din on Shabbos? V'liktalei b'chad b'shabsa. And kill him on Sunday. Well, that's the next logical step. Because now Rav the Gemara has been toying with the idea of making a separation between the time of the Gemara din and the time of the execution. So the first logical step was Motzai Shabbos. But that just happens to be Laila, and you can't do it by Laila, so the Gemara is just going logically, okay, fine, so we'll do it the next morning. Next morning is Neged HaShemesh, so you have Neged HaShemesh. Now you've solved the problem. Start the case on Friday. Okay, of course, if you conclude on Friday for Schus, no problem. If you find him for acquittal, so then you do Halana. Reconvene on Shabbos. Shabbos, you do the Gemara Din. And he's found guilty. Okay? Then you can't execute him now because it's Shabbos. Can't execute him at night because it's Balayla. Sunday morning, you do the execution. Problem solved. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Nimsa ata ma'ana es dino. So then you're going to afflict, it's called affliction of the din. Interesting concept. That you can't subject him to this psychological affliction. What does that mean? That means that at a certain point in time, to let him live, so to speak, to give him more time is considered to be cruel. That goes contrary to common sense, because most people just want some more time. And if they can get another day or whatever. But over here, in this case, you're not allowed to give him more time because that's considered to be cruelty. Because he's preoccupied. He's just waiting. He's waiting now to be killed. So that's obviously a painful phenomenon. And you don't want to do that. Because you can't inflict any just because this person is going to be executed, according to the din, that doesn't give you a right to increase any other type of pain. That's the tangential. So therefore, it's considered to be Rachmanis to execute him, to take him out of his misery, because now he's just basically in a state of misery. So now the Gemara is saying you can't do that. That would work. Yes, it would solve the other issues over here, the technicalities that we've adduced. But it would give, it's also, you can't do it, because it's a ma'ana es dino. I just want to note in passing that this could be another example that the Gemara is bringing out facts. Not that there's a havamina over here. I mean, the question is like this. Did the Gemara know about Inui HaDin? Or it did not know about Inui HaDin, and now it finds out. So a simple way of saying is that the Gemara is just bringing out the fact. It wanted to communicate to you through these laws that there's a phenomenon of Inui HaDin, which means that you can't afflict the person and postpone. You can't postpone the execution. Postponement of execution is prohibited. But, or, no, the Gemara knew that, but perhaps there's a havamina that this, for whatever reason, would not be a violation of Inui HaDin. See, that's the difference. I'm going to give you to address that question. How do we know if something is just bringing out facts or whether it's a legitimate havamina? I'm going to show you what the difference would be, though. This won't tell you how do you know, but you could approach it in two ways. You could say, well, this is it. I mean, the Gemara is just bringing out the fact of Inui HaDin. Once I know Inui HaDin, I could have answered it myself. Well, no, maybe it knew Inui HaDin, but this is a further modification of Inui HaDin, and maybe it thought that in this case, the Havamina was that Inui HaDin wouldn't apply. That would be a real Havamina. And the Maskana was that it does, that this is a violation of Inui HaDin. Then the Gemara says another possibility. All right, so the Gemara accepts this. So yeah, the Gemara is trying to work out every possibility over here. Nedaine b'malei shapsa. So why not start the case on Erev Shabbos? And conclude on Sunday. How will this help? How is this different? The Malay Shapsa, Vinigmare Bechad Bishapsa. So Rashi explains, see, Rashi sees the necessity of trying to explain to you that this would not be a problem of Inui HaDin. Because you might say, well, isn't it Inui HaDin? The person right now, the majority, are in favor of conviction. So Rashi says, "V'chol zman shelo nigmar hadin, lo havi inui hadin." That until they've actually been gomer the din, it's not considered to be inui hadin. The chol shah mitzapeh lahatzala. because throughout the time he's looking forward to some kind of Hatzalah. Aval kishen nigmar kol hayom. I'm sorry. Aval kishen nigmar. But when it's concluded, kol hayom mitzapa lamisa, v'have inu hadin. Then he's looking forward to death, and that's inu hadin. Well, one can raise the question, as we've learned, there's a whole procedure. As they take him out to be executed, and they pronounce, they have these Talmid Chacham going along with him, they have these people riding on horses, and in case somebody comes out with, it's possible. The truth of the matter is that even after the Gemara Din, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's definitely revocable. It's definitely reviewable. And we make pronouncements as widely as possible to publicize what the facts are. If anybody has a proof on his side, if anyone has a defense, a witness, or an argument, something we've overlooked, come forth. And if they do, and it's got significance, Beis Din will reconvene. And if necessary, they'll uproot the whole verdict, and they'll retry him, and they may find him innocent. It's not a foregone conclusion. So, that's possible. So, if you can tell me like this, that before you have the Gemar Din, let's say we're sitting at the trial. Before you have the Gemar Din, and you take a look around you, and you have like 20 for conviction, and two for acquittal, and one person that's doesn't know, is unconvinced. Whatever the case is, it looks kind of bad, because a lot of people have to be won over to change. Then we don't have the inu. There's no inu hadin. There's no inu hadin. Isn't that interesting? Then he's an optimist. He's always mitzapa. He's mitzapa lahatzala. But how different is that from afterwards? Once you have a Gemara Din, and the Gemara Din could have been very close, because all you need is a majority of two. Let's say you have a conviction with a majority of two. At that point, the Inu Hadin clock begins to tick, and then he's no longer Metzapa anymore. Why isn't he Metzapa? There's still the possibility. We're not saying that's it. We're not going to listen. We are. We're going to publicize it. You yourself can bring up arguments. We're going to send two Talmidei Chacham. Somebody in the crowd can approach them and with a significant argument that you guys made a mistake, and the Beis Din is ready to reconvene and to uproot the conviction and then judge him over again and maybe find them innocent. Nope. This time he becomes the pessimist. What I'm saying is correct, is that when we talk about Inu Hadin, we're not talking about the psychological distress of being tried for your life, having your life on trial. That may be true. In fact, you see that one of the things of Posim L'Schus is that we try to tell them, don't worry. If you didn't do it, don't worry. The fact that anybody who's on trial for his life is going to be in a state of distress, that's not Inu Hadin. That is to say, we're not talking about the affliction that automatically stems from the process itself. That's something you can't control. You're not gonna ponder a guy and say, look, we can't try him because there's a certain amount of stress. You can't help it. That's and he may be innocent also. But that's mishpat. If you have two edim, you have to go through mishpat. This is a new phenomenon that comes into the picture at a certain point in time. Now all of a sudden we're concerned about the inui. Okay. So the reason why we're making an issue out of this and we're raising these kinds of questions is because Rashi seems to be giving a psychological profile of a person that as long as he's being tried, and even if it's going against him, so he's an optimist, mitzapa. He's looking forward to being acquitted. And then afterwards, that's it. He loses his optimism. It's gone. And basing myself on that explanation of Rashi, it's difficult. Why? First of all, not everybody's like that. And it doesn't seem, you can see how the trial is going, and I'm sure there are cases where it's not too optimistic. Everybody's finding you guilty. But there, it doesn't come into the picture. Okay. Matt is suggesting a very interesting answer, that to explain what Rashi is saying, as to why the problem of Inu Hadin kicks in only after a verdict is reached. And what Rashi means when he's saying, he's not talking about psychological, this person's an optimist, a pessimist, he's just talking in general terms. But the reason why Rashi says that before the conviction, he looks forward to being saved, is because at that point in time, the process itself creates allies, so to speak. I mean, that's v'shaftu v'yitzilu, that there is there are a group of people that have a halachic chiyuv to search for acquittal, for schusim. So he can hang his optimism, so to speak, on that. However, my question, which was that after the Gemar Din, he can still be optimistic, because afterwards it's not a foregone conclusion. There's still anybody. It's open up to the crowd now. Anybody that knows any reason why he should be acquitted can come forward, and Beis Din will consider it. So why shouldn't he be optimistic? So Matt is answering and saying, because at that point in time, there's nobody that really has a chiyuv, a halachic chiyuv, to do so. It's just they may do so out of the goodness of their heart. So that what Matt is saying is that v'shaftu eida v'itzilu eida, that obligation that stems from that, at what point does it terminate? It terminates at the point of Gemar Din. The question that I would have asked on what Matt is saying from Mesis would be that what Matt was saying was that really there is an issue of Inu HaDin even before the Gemar Din. However, it's mitigated by the fact that the person, the defendant, draws some kind of a sustenance, so to speak. That is, he has a sense of optimism only because there are people whose obligation it is to find schus. However, at the time of Gemar Din, the chiyuv of Yitzilu comes to an end, and therefore, since he has no basis for being optimistic, so then he already begins to be afflicted. That's when the affliction begins. That was the explanation. If that is the case, I was looking to see if there's an exception where there's one case where the defendant would not have the basis to have the sense of reliance on those who are out there whose job it is to try and save him, and that's why I was looking at Mesis. That is to say, in the case of a Mesis, not to say that a Mesis wouldn't be subject to Inu HaDin, but rather it should come into the picture at an earlier phase. If we assume that there's no body of people by Amasis whose job it is to save him, so then it should come into the picture even during the Masa Matha. What Rashi is saying, because Rashi sees fit to address this issue, so apparently there's a problem. You'll judge, that's what he's saying. You'll judge on Friday. And on Friday, he's pretty much convicted. Okay? All right, so you can't do the actual Gemar Din because you have to have Havana. So what you're saying is you can't postpone it to Shabbos. You'll postpone it to Sunday. And that seems to, then the Gemar will show why that's a problem, because they may forget the Talmud. Fine. But, What Rashi is bringing up is, isn't there an issue of Inu HaDin? Okay, he's not going to have a very pleasant Shabbos. Right? What's he going to be thinking about? Well, it can't be a case of 23 to 0. That we know. If it's 23, if all Dayanim at the first count find him guilty, he goes free, as we learned, because they were Mahapek Peschuso. Fine. So, but let's say it's 20-3. Or 22-1. It could be 22-1. All you need is one person to argue in favor of Schus and 22 against him, and he's going to be convicted. So if that's where it is on Friday, it's what's bothering Rashi. Let's be realistic. If that's where you leave it on Friday, and you say, well, we'll postpone it till Sunday, and Sunday will conclude, and he'll be killed on Sunday. What about Inu HaDin? So Rashi's saying, no, he's going to have a very good Shabbos because he's an optimist. Somebody will come up with a reason for Schus. Okay. But once he's found, once they actually have the Gemara, how much difference is there? Let's face it. Realistically speaking, how much difference is there in terms of the reality of the situation, whether he's ever going to get off the hook or not, in terms of the moment before the Gemara Din and after the Gemara Din? And the same at sea is pretty much. Okay. So I think what Rashi is saying is that we're not measuring psychological states over here. That's what I said before. You know, we're not going to do a psychological profile. This person is an optimist, this person is a pessimist. You have all different kinds of people. Some people are always concerned they're going to fail. Some people are always worried they're going to get sick. Other people, even if they have cancer, they're confident, they're optimistic. We're not going by that. It's a very specific halachic phenomenon. So what Rashi is saying is that you can't, the issue of Inui HaDin does not come into the picture before Gemar Din, because now you're involved in the process of Din per se. You have to have the process of Din. The person has to be subjected to the process of Din. And whatever suffering he has, that's his own problem. He has to deal with that. If he did things that put him in a bad position, so it's his fault. If he's innocent, hopefully it'll come out. It's very rare that an innocent person is going to be convicted in the halachic system. But that we can't. That is purely a psychological thing. So be an optimist. You're not an optimist. That's you're causing yourself. You are causing the problem. But something happens at Gemar Din. What happens at Gemar Din? This is a principle we established a very long time ago. There's a new phenomenon. What's the new phenomenon? He's Chayev Misa. He wasn't Chayev Misa before. Remember I explained the difference between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefoshos? Remember I said that Dinei Mamonos does not confer a new status upon the person. Dinei Mamonos, the Bezdin, does not create a new reality. It's basically Birur. All in Dinei Mamonos can be a very complicated case. In the end, after going through all the factors, we decide that so-and-so, this person, Reuven owes Shimon $500. Bezdin doesn't create the reality. Bezdin is just deciphered what the pre-existing reality was. And if everybody kept good records and so forth, there weren't disputes, then you wouldn't have needed Bezdin for that. That's not what Bezdin is doing over here. In the case of Dini Nefashos, it's not a matter that Bezdin is trying to figure out. That is to say that he's not Chayav Misa for the act itself. He's not Chayav Misa for killing another person. He's not Chayav Misa for being Mechal Shabbos. Being Mechal Shabbos gives Bezdin the obligation to go through the entire process, and if they go through the process halachically, then they confer a status upon the Gavra that he's a Rasha, a Shehu Rasha Lamas. So you need that status in the Gavra, which can only come about through the Sanhedrin, and without that status, you can't do anything. You can't kill the person. If you go and kill the person because you know for sure that he's a murderer, that's where you're a murderer. That's your Roteach. Only Bezdin has the right to do so, and it is the Gemar Din which confers the status upon him, Asherhu Rosh Alomus. Now he's Chayiv Misa. Once he's Chayiv Misa, so that's a whole new situation. Now the Gavra is just waiting for Misa. Beforehand, you can't say that. You can't say he's waiting for Misa, because he's not Chayiv Misa. He's a warrior. That's his problem. He's a warrior. He's involved in the process of din, and it doesn't matter whether it's going in his favor or going against him. That's what Rashi means by mitzapeh. It's not a psychological phenomenon. It means to say that he's involved in the process of din. That's it. There's no inui hadin over here because he's a free person. Once there's gemar din, so now the gavra is chayiv misa, and his status is, what's his status? He's to be put to death. So now, you're not allowed to, now it's your fault. You see, now you're imposing something upon him. We're going by objective realities over here. Again, we're not looking at the psyche of this person. Objective reality is that this person is finished. He's finished because he's Omed Lamisa. If he's Omed Lamisa, so now the way you treat him will create a new type of a suffering which stems from the fact that you're putting him to death. That your Bezdin conferred a chi of mis upon this person, you put him into this state, and therefore you now have to deal with those issues that will emerge from the fact that you're playing, you're torturing him. That's torture. There's a protocol as to how it has to be done. So a person that is omed lamisa, of course, it's a possibility he'll be saved, but that's accidental. We're not talking about the accidents. We're talking about the process. The process itself is he's going to be killed. He's not going to be saved. So once he's Omed Lamisa, and that's the reality you have to deal with And you can't take into consideration an accident that he might somehow be saved. Can't take accidents into consideration. You got to deal with the reality. So then the reality is that a person who's omed lemisa is in a state of pain. And to delay it is further pain. And that's inu hadin. That's the difference between the two. It might very well be on the basis of this idea, if you go back one step, it might very well be that perhaps when the Gemara said that we'll conclude the din on Shabbos and we'll kill him on Sunday, and the Gemara said no, that's inu hadin, right? Could be that there was a havmin over there, and the havmin might have been that in that case it's not us that are postponing. That perhaps inu hadin is only, you see, is only when you postpone, when you delay. The Bezdin's laziness, so to speak, is the cause of the delay. But where it's not because of Bezdin's laziness, where it's because the reality is that it can't be done at this particular time, right? So we're not guilty of inu hadin. It's just the way it plays out. Kamash Malan, that no. That he cannot be subjected, that the nidon can't be subjected to a situation which will produce the reality of inu hadin, even though it's not because of your delaying tactics. You follow? That it could have been a real, that the Gemara knew that this is a thing of inu hadin. But the Gemara might have held that inu hadin takes place only when you're involved in the delay. You see? That Bezdin can't do anything which delays it. But here, they're not doing anything which delays it. It's the halacha which says you can't kill him right now. Kamash Malan, that even in that situation, the Gavra can't be subjected to that experience. Yeah, Matt is pointing out that Rashi does say that before the Gemara did, he's Mitzapeh. Latzala. Which seems to be that that's the factor. Yeah, that is true. But it's based upon the fact that he's considered to be a different type of a gavra. See, objectively speaking, he's a different type of gavra. He says that he's free. No, his status hasn't been changed. So it's just up and back. There's no difference halachically. There's no difference categorically before the Gemara Din between someone. You can't say that there's a difference between a nidon where the vote is 15-8 as opposed to a nidon where it's in his favor. It's a nidon. That's it. There's a process. So that's it. We assign a certain psychological state to a nidon and say that a nidon who's going through the process, it can be mitzapa latzola. That's what we say. We don't know about the individual. But after the Gemara Din, he's no longer a nidon. What is he? Yeah, he's mechuyav misa. Different state.